But first, we kick off with the Greens pre-selection of Kathleen Moulton. To understand the uproar, we need to take you back a bit. In 1998, Moulton founded Project Respect, an organization committed to opposing the sex industry. She's pro the Swedish model of sex work, which criminalizes the buying but not selling of sexual wares. This has caused her to clash with many activists and groups within Melbourne's sex worker community, as they advocate for the complete decriminalisation of the sex industry. It's worth pointing out here that both the state and federal policies of the Greens also back decriminalisation. This feud is long-standing. The Reason Party, formerly the Sex Party, specifically targeted the seat in 2010's election and preferenced Labor ahead of the Greens, a crucial factor that lost Moulton the seat. It also upset many members.
You have to understand, this is a winnable seat for the Greens. In the last election, they only missed it by just over 1,000 votes. That's small change in terms of elections. Moulton will be going head-to-head with long-term Labor rival Minister Richard Wynne, who unexpectedly decided to run again. It'll be an intense fight, with the state Labor Party attempting to hold on to one of its safe seats and keep its left-leaning credentials in check. For the Greens, a Richmond win would expand their mini Melbourne empire and proves their capabilities as a major political contender. Whilst the feud between Moulton, the sex worker community and allies might not make many of the headlines during the 2018 election, it will cause a rift between some left voters, as sex worker activists and their allies band together to campaign against her. This will inevitably threaten the Green candidate's chances of winning. Earlier today, Dan Roberts and I spoke to Peaches, a sex worker activist who runs the Real Sex Workers Instagram and has campaigned against Moulton. We talked to her about what a Moulton candidacy means for her community. So, Peaches, yes. What does the pre-selection of Kathleen Moulton mean for the sex worker community?
I think it's pretty disappointing for a number of reasons. Like, firstly, the Greens, both their state and federal policies actually state that they support decriminalisation as the best model for the sex industry. Kathleen Moulton has always been a pretty vocal supporter of the Nordic model, which has been absolutely rejected by the vast majority of peer-based sex worker organisations, as well as health organisations and human rights organisations around the world. So I think not only should the, I suppose Greens members be very annoyed about this, but also sex workers. You know, our rights are very precarious, and it is a huge worry for us that the election of Kathleen Moulton could, if she were elected to office, that this could potentially mean that we would see the Nordic model introduced into state parliament, and also just that her campaign means that we're going to have to face another onslaught of whorephobia, which we're just about done with. So
you've mentioned the Nordic model. Mm-hmm. Do you want to explain what exactly that is to our listeners and why, as a sex worker, you're against it?
Yeah. So there are actually there are several different models that are used to kind of approach, regulating the sex industry. So you would see in Victoria we have a licensing system. New South Wales is fully decriminalised. And then there are kind of different variations on that around the rest of Australia. In South Australia it's fully criminalised. So the Nordic model, or Swedish model as it's also known, the two are kind of interchangeable, is essentially a system where the buyers of sex are criminalised, but the sellers of sex aren't. So, well, that's it in theory anyway. So this is very popular amongst radical feminists and conservatives, Christians, that sort of thing, because they think, well, they think that it's that no woman would ever want to be doing sex work, for one, and that the majority of people in sex work don't want to be in the industry. So I guess the response of sex workers is that this is not actually how it works in practice. So we find that the Nordic model has seen increases in police harassment and abuse of sex workers. As far as migrant sex workers are concerned, there's an increase in deportations. Then it also makes it incredibly hard to access housing because you can't be seen to be profiting from prostitution, as they call it. So that means that landlords don't want sex workers as tenants. So it makes it incredibly hard to get housing, access to education, healthcare, all these other things. And it also just increases the stigma attached to sex work. Whereas a decriminalisation model, which is the model that that the vast majority of sex workers actually support, means that we don't have police interference in our lives. When crimes are committed against us, we do actually have some recourse to justice. Whether or not the cops actually take us seriously is a whole other story. but, I mean, technically, you know, that's an option for us. It means that we can have access to housing, education, healthcare, and all of these other services. Yeah.
So is that something that you, what you're describing there, is that something that's available to you now? Would introducing the Nordic model take that away, or is that something that you're fighting for at the moment?
So we're fighting for decriminalisation now. We have a licensing system in Victoria which is quite different. So it's almost like certain types of sex work in Victoria are decriminalised. So, for example, brothel work. And then there are other forms of sex work that are kind of
in a grey area.
Criminalised, yeah. So you've got like street-based sex work is criminalised, and then escorting is kind of depends on how you do it. Whether you're seeing clients in your home, or you're going to the client's house, and are you licensed with the state, and are you working with more than one sex worker, because that is then seen as brothel keeping or pimping. So, you know, which is actually a lot safer for us if we're working together. But yeah, unfortunately, that's illegal.
Bringing it back to the upcoming election next year, will you be actively campaigning against Maltzahn?
Yeah, I will. And I think that you'll find that a lot of sex workers will. Kathleen Maltzahn, this isn't the first time that she's run. She's actually run in the seat of Richmond twice before and has lost on both occasions. And I think in large part due to the efforts of local sex workers who have campaigned heavily against her. Yeah.
So what would you say to Greens voters who will be voting and campaigning for her election?
I would say don't. I absolutely support the Greens. I think that they're a great party, and I think it's really disappointing that that Kathleen Maltzahn has been pre-selected. I think that there were several other candidates who would have been much better for that area.
In terms of their policy, it's quite left of field to go with her, no?
Well, I mean, she stands against the party's actual policies. So, yeah. But, I mean, she's been pre-selected now 3 times in a row. So I'm not really sure what's going on in that seat, but I think there's definitely, like, some questions that need answering there, especially given that from what I could see on social media, it appears that Greens voters aren't supporting this at all. So, yeah, and just to have a bit of, like, love and care for your mates who will be affected by this, I think is really important.
Maltzahn has come out and publicly said, though, that she's not against sex workers in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
Putting that into my words. But yet you're saying she is. So what's going on there?
Yeah. I guess a good way of explaining this is, like, it would kind of be like Peter Dutton coming out and saying, like, I support, like, the Manus Island and Nauru, I support offshore processing, but I don't hate refugees, you know? It's like, but you're supporting a policy that, like, actively hurts this community, so how can you say that you care about them? You know, I think that that's absolute rubbish, you know? So she might say that, you know, she may not go so far as to call us, you know, sluts and whores or whatever else, but she's supporting policy that's inherently, you know, it's anti-sex work, it's anti-worker, and it's pro-police, and it's incredibly damaging to the community. So, you know, I think actions speak louder than words.
In terms of what you'd like to see change in this industry?
What would I like to see change in the industry? Oh, goodness, where do I begin?
Look, it's only a half an hour show. Okay?
Well, that's the thing. You know, I mean, I really love the sex industry. I mean, it certainly, like any job, it has its ups and downs, of course. I guess what I want to see is I want to see sex work treated as work. You know, I'd like to see us being able to actually unionize to fight for our rights. I'd like to have access to, you know, work cover and things like that. Yeah, so I think for me, it's just a matter of actually having workers coming together to speak on our own behalf, not being spoken over by people outside of the industry, not being spoken for by bosses or anyone else, so that we can come together to push an agenda that actually works for us.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
That was Dan and I talking to Peaches, a sex worker activist, earlier today.
The Greens are normally a party of complete unity, but on the Facebook post announcing Moulton's candidacy, things got heated. Whilst many Green supporters came out with messages of congratulations, many also vented their frustrations. It's messy business. Politicians won't always agree with their parties on everything, but why would the Greens run a candidate whose personal positions so vehemently disagreed with their state and federal policies and targets a social minority? Doesn't sound very Green. Kate and Daniel Roberts put these questions to Claire Quinn, the Victorian Party Director, earlier today.
Kathleen Moulton has contradicting personal views to the Greens' policies, both state and federal, on sex work. Why is the party still comfortable running her?
Well, it's the case that the Victorian Greens, like the Australian Greens, fully supports the decriminalisation of sex work. And a change to the legal status of sex work in Victoria is definitely not Greens policy, and it's not an active campaign for us. That said, a Greens member, including a candidate, doesn't have to agree with every Greens policy. They are bound in some ways to support our values and our processes. I guess in the Greens, because we do grassroots democratic pre-selections, which is actually quite unusual for a political party, the fact that members in Richmond chose Kathleen as their candidate, and because that was a democratic process, means that we are 110% behind Kathleen as a candidate.
Sex workers claim her support for the Nordic model is actually harmful to them, and the Greens often pride themselves on looking out for minorities. Shouldn't the party be listening to their concerns?
We've definitely been talking to sex workers about their concerns, and our spokespeople for the relevant portfolios have had open doors to meet with either stakeholder groups or individual stakeholders who are concerned about this. I imagine that conversation is going to need to continue.
Claire, members and supporters have been quite upset. Do you think this is going to affect Kathleen's chance of winning the seat?
I think that a fight for a Labor-held seat is always going to be really challenging and will involve a really concerted effort by a candidate and their supporters and by the party. I'm more concerned about the potential for division, and that's why we are working really actively to hear out stakeholders who are concerned and electors and supporters to manage this difference in a policy view over the next year and beyond that.
Claire, just finally, what would you say to members who are upset at her pre-selection?
To members, I would invite them to contact us to talk about it. And we also have some internal forums going forward to talk about this issue.
I talking to the Greens Victorian Party Director, Claire Quinn, earlier today. With Moulton's pre-selection, this conversation, inside and outside the party, has completely blown up again. We spoke to a Greens member earlier today about why supporters are so upset. We've concealed their voice because, like many political parties, the Greens have strict rules about who can speak to the media. How long have you been a member of the Greens?
I've been a member of the Greens since 2012, and I'm really embarrassed about what they're doing right now. Embarrassed by what they're doing right now.
How has the reaction been to Kathleen's nomination?
Outside of Richmond, pretty much every young Green that I know is embarrassed by what's happened. The fact that they're going for somebody who has name recognition or facial recognition as opposed to somebody who represents the Greens in general is pretty much disgusting as far as not only me but all of the people that I know are concerned.
Yeah. And why are people so upset? What is it about Kathleen's policy specifically?
Well, her idea of the Swedish method as to sex work is, like, I understand where she's coming from. She's coming from this idea that everybody that she's worked with has been sex trafficked, and that's absolutely horrific, and we should do everything we can against that. But the idea of making buying sex illegal just pushes every sex worker who chooses to be a sex worker underground, and that makes it so much less safe. It means that people who choose to be sex workers have to work in an unsafe environment. They don't have a choice to vet who they're working with. They have to do it quickly. They have to do it quietly. It's possibly the worst outcome you could have for people who choose to be sex workers as opposed to people who are forced to be sex workers.
Do you think the disunity that's sort of happening in the party at the moment about her candidacy will affect her in the upcoming election?
I hope that it does. I think that the Greens should, whilst I believe in grassroots democracy, the Greens should represent what the Greens represent. The idea that any member should be above what the Greens believe in and what the Greens have voted from is completely against what the entire idea of the Greens.
Excellent. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'd like to add that I'm really embarrassed by what's going on. I think that that the fact that it's come to this, that the Greens are more interested in gaining power than they are in representing what they truly believe in, is embarrassing and gross, to be perfectly honest. And it's not really something that I want to be a part of. And I've seriously considered cancelling my membership over this.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au, or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.